This episode of Art House Radio is brought to you by lovely people like you who go to the website, arthouse43.com. They click on support, and then they make some sort of a contribution. This is the product. Hello. It's like sometimes if somebody says, you know, I think I really want a new t-shirt. Let me go to amazon.com, click, click, here's my credit card, boom, boom, we're ready to go. This is the t-shirt. You're listening to the t-shirt. You're already about 65 cents in. You can also go to the website arthouse43.com and you can support us in other ways. We have artworks up for sale. We have music albums. I had something come out about 2 weeks ago. It'll take you to troyramos.bandcamp.com for my new work, 12 stars. 12 stars. Limited edition CDs, those are available. You can also support us by writing a review. You're listening to this probably on an Apple product. Just do a little click, click here and write a review. I hate it. I love it. Whatever you want to do. And you can also follow us at arthouse43 everywhere. That's at arthouse43, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. And just let us know that you're there. Let's connect. All right, let's start the show.
Nothing but the blues are brewing. The blues are brewing.
Ah, the beautiful jazz and sound musings of the lovely lady, Billie Holiday. Welcome to Art House Radio. This is episode 126. I am your host, as always, Troy Ramos. I've got a special episode for you today. I was reading an article a couple days ago from culture.gr. It's an arts journalism site. It's focusing on Grand Rapids, Michigan. And the article was titled, A Word of Advice, Artists, in anticipation of Art Prize 9, which is coming up here. It's already here. It started yesterday. If you don't know what Art Prize is, you can find out more info at artprize.org. And it was an interesting article. I liked reading it. I thought it was something that is sort of a growing sentiment maybe in around the event or in this sort of arts culture region. And it got a really good response on Twitter and Instagram, according to my guest, Holly Bashiri, who wrote the article. But on Facebook, it had a few counter arguments or retorts, if you will. I don't know if a retort is the right word. I'm not a wordsmith, but I like the word retort. And so there could have been retorting on the Facebook one. So I thought, let's have her on, and we can have a conversation about it. And that's exactly what we did. So you can find the article at culture.gr. You can just search for Holly Bashiri, A Word of Advice Artists, whatever you want to do. Listen to the article, and then maybe listen to this conversation, because it's a good one. So it's about an hour long. Let's go to it, and I will see you on the other side. Remember that you can follow us at arthouse43 everywhere. And you can also support us at arthouse43.com. And don't forget to support them, culture.gr, everywhere. Just look at it, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, read the articles, whatever you got to do, just support us both. Two arts organizations trying to make your life better. And this is the thanks we get by you ignoring my social media appeals. Okay, let's go to the conversation. Enjoy.
The blues are brewing. When the wind through the willow blows across your pillow and tells you sleeping is wrong. If love goes a-thirsting till you feel like bursting, then nothing but the blues are brewing. The blues are brewing.
Hello.
Hi, Troy.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So you managed to get some time away from the article writing, art prize, all that stuff.
No, no, it's nonstop engine over here for the next 3 weeks. My husband said to me last night, so Art Prize starts officially tomorrow. I'll see you in October. He's used to it by now.
He's used to it.
He's been doing this for a long time. He's used to it.
Is that like, I know that it always starts midweek, but does it, as someone who doesn't live in GR, it feels like the weekend is the actual start, but maybe to you all there?
No, Wednesday's the start. And actually, last year they made it official that the week before, so last Wednesday, started preview week.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Which some venues are open. And it's just a chance to, you know, check out some things before all of the crowds.
Yep.
Because people were already wandering around downtown and trying to check things out early anyway. So Art Prize was like, eh, let's just make it official and call it preview week.
Right.
So I mean, my work started in July planning for it. But yeah, there's definitely, I mean, the huge crowds are on the weekend, but guaranteed before the weekend gets here, there's a high chance that the art museum will have a line out the door.
I kind of like the weekdays better, to be honest, like, cause the weekends are so packed. It's like a circus. Like you said.
Circus is it's the best circus in the world, but it's still a circus.
Yeah.
So on the weekends when there's so many people.
Right.
So I actually, so my son was born a couple weeks after the second Art Prize.
Oh, okay.
So he's grown up with it. And he goes with me every year. And we like to go to maybe two or three venues that are right next to each other.
Yeah.
On a weeknight.
Yep.
Like after school or right after dinner. We just go down for an hour and take it in piecemeal. Because then you can really concentrate on the work you're looking at and not be so overwhelmed.
It feels like that's the right way to do it. Because if you go on the weekends, which I've done before, it feels like a very, like you're a thing on an assembly line. You can't really spend much time with the artwork depending on where you are. And it feels very hurried. It's like a mass congestion of people. And even if everybody's nice and the artwork is nice, it's, you don't really get that quality time with it.
Right. Yes. Yeah, and you start to hear what other people are saying about the work, and that gets a little annoying sometimes, yeah. Not gonna lie. At other times, it's super exciting because you're surrounded by masses of people in the Midwest, and everyone's talking about art.
Right.
And that is just like, it buoys me through the whole thing because I'm working nonstop for, you know, a month and a half for this thing. I even tell other, you know, freelance clients, I don't do work during the Art Prize season. So it is really like, it's a really intense time, but it's also like from the first year, just the idea that all these people who would normally not go into an art museum, they're suddenly not only going to the art museum, but then they're also going to 20 other places to look at more art. And then they're going to the restaurant down the street and they're talking to the stranger next to them about the art they saw and what they think about art. And it's just,
it's weird. Anytime, no matter what it is, if you get that many people into an area, there are going to be good things and bad things that happen, right?
Yeah.
Like you're just going to hear good things that are said. You're going to be annoyed with the crowds. I can handle crowds for about, I don't know, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours. And then I start to go, all right, I need to find a shady tree over here for a while.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, anytime you have a group of people, even if it's three people, there are going to be differences of opinion yet. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then our culture has set us up to think of art as subjective. So that really messes with our whole ability to talk about it because art isn't subjective. Our opinions about art are subjective, but the artwork itself has many different layers under which it can be analyzed and looked at. And so that whole cultural understanding of art is subjective. Art is whatever you want it to be. Art, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Mm. Well, yes, enjoy the art that you enjoy. Absolutely. Explore whatever kinds of things you want in your studio, with your friends, in your classes. But when you get to a point where you're submitting work to an international exhibition, there are considerations, color theory, and there's composition rules, and there are, you know, how well your concept is actually played out visually and all of these other things that we can actually look at and assess for its quality. So, yeah.
Yeah. That's like the goal of the juried panel, right? That's what you're talking about. Or the art prize staff and then the juried panel. That's what they're looking for. They've got this sort of template that they put these up against, and they sort of try to figure out how can we assess these in some sort of way.
Well, the art prize staff doesn't do any of that. They're just like the matchmakers, right? They're okay. matching artists with venues. But the jurors, absolutely. But I think that should also be something that the public should take more seriously. We are also judging art. We are deciding who wins, and we are giving out as much money as the professional jurors are.
Interesting. There's like a million things swimming around in my brain now about like this idea about the difference between the prize winners for the juried prize and the prize winners for the public vote over the last eight, about to be the ninth. And then the idea that you touched on in the article about, are people trying to use gimmicks? Are they trying to... When Art Prize first started, I didn't know really that much about it. But once it got popular, then I started to think, ooh, it's interesting that the word prize is baked into that word. So now you have people who are probably looking at the money prize a little bit, but not that's not maybe the only thing, but it's definitely a factor.
Well, and what's been interesting to me in people's reactions to Art Prize, especially people within the professional art world, is these surprises at different things, like having the word prize in the name. When these, I mean, that's normal in the art world. I mean, the Turner Prize.
Sure, yeah,
I mean, you know, I mean, there's no other way to describe a competition for a prize.
That's true. Yes. That's
true. So, you know, and like the entry fees, I was talking to my mom just recently, actually, she's an artist, and she was asking me what the entry fee was for Art Prize. It's $50 for artists. Mm-hmm. She was shocked at how small it was.
Yeah.
But I hear here people complaining about there's an entry fee, and what do you do about that entry fee? And yeah, just like any other show, chances are good that you're going to have an entry fee. Chances are good that it's going to be more than $50. And yes, those are juried. So yeah, that money might have just gone for you to try to get in and not get in.
Well, you've got
there's all these, you know, comparisons that there are a lot of differences. The democratization of letting whatever families walking down the street vote on the art is very different than the standard professional art world. But there are a lot of similarities as well. And so it's always surprising to hear people complain about different things, and I'm thinking, are you participating in the art world at all? Because this seems normal to me.
You mean normal like people criticizing works that are found to be really good from a juried perspective? Or
no, I mean as far as the procedures of the competition.
I see.
And art people complaining about Art Prize, and they'll point out different things that is really a pretty standard practice within the art world.
It's interesting because it's become so big that there's going to be there's going to be people who praise it and criticize it probably to varying degrees on both sides. So it's sort of out there as this thing that is open season on it in a way. The good and the bad, I guess. Probably less bad, I would imagine. I mean, probably the overwhelming majority of stuff is good.
Well, it depends on where you go. I'm not going to lie, but when Jerry Saltz was here, I don't know if it was the first or the second time he was here, but he said, listen, you go to Chelsea in New York City, really a hotbed for great art. It's like 95% of the stuff there is horrible, too. Don't quote me on that percentage. I think 90%, 95%. Anyway, vast majority of work wherever you go is the artist is still perfecting their craft, and it's not necessarily going to be the best work you've ever seen.
Did they mean horrible in like that it's from his perspective or from that perspective, like underdeveloped, or that it's just not his or that person's taste? Or it's not like wide ranging.
I mean, this is Jerry Saltz, who is the preeminent art critic in the country. And he was saying there was a lot of bad art wherever you go. And I think he means just poorly executed art. Whether it means the artist isn't developed completely yet, or whether it means this person should maybe look for another career. I mean, there's, you know, yes to both of them and everywhere in between. But yeah, everywhere you go, there's going to be bad art.
Sure.
And he's trying to console us, I think, because, you know, we're all worried, like, it should all be really fabulous work. And there is just a plethora of fabulous work in Art Prize.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, there are always dragons, one of which I have to really loved and wanted to win one year. So for all the people who called me pretentious on the Facebooks, I liked a dragon.
You mean the was that the one in the water that was in the river?
No, that was Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, okay. I don't remember the other dragon.
That was called Nessie. That was the first year. Oh, no, yeah. There was a dragon one year at the Bob. And it was huge and it breathed fire. And there were all of these little details on this huge monstrosity of a dragon that were really fascinating to me. I just thought it worked. And you could climb into the dragon.
Wow. And it would give birth to you as you climbed out. So you're like a dragon baby.
Or pooped you out.
Whatever or pooped you out. Yeah.
You know, it was, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I actually did hope it would win a public prize because I knew it didn't stand a chance with the jurors, but I enjoyed it. It was fun.
It's, I see a lot of that there where it's like, I don't know where the line is between, say, art, however we define that, and craft. Like somebody who can make a dragon or a large object that's done really well, they might be a good word worker or whatever. I'm not saying it's not art. I don't know. But it does feel like maybe sometimes those lines blur. And I don't know that. I mean, clearly some people don't want to see that in like a museum. But other people identify with that more. So it's hard to say. I don't know. But I definitely see a difference.
Art museum in a large city that has a full collection, and you will see things that are definitely crafts. You'll see quilts. You'll see, you know, things, dishes. You'll see all of these things that were craft. They weren't considered high art in the time. They were utilitarian objects that were just crafted really well. And so I feel like if you look over history, art and craft were together, and then they got separated. And now they're kind of starting to mesh together again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm not really all that concerned about whether something's art or craft and which line it falls over onto. I just want it to be well made, whatever it is. Yeah. I want it to be conceptually strong and I want it to be well made. It doesn't have to be beautiful. It doesn't have to be fine art or what we normally think of as fine art. I just want it to be well done. And evidently that was a little too much for some people this weekend.
Well, I mean, there's like a level of when you do something, whether it's writing or art or whatever, there's love for it. That's the best, right? Hate being the second best. But the worst is indifference. You don't want that at all. You want.
I know.
So you got some of the first two, at least, and probably more of the very first one, I would think. But you did.
Yeah, I have a lot of people who are really invested in talking about how we look at art. So that's, I'm absolutely pleased because people are talking about how we talk about art and how we judge art right before they're going to go out and judge art. So it is just the best outcome I could have had from my article.
What I think one of the interesting things about it was you pointed out, you gave a couple of examples. And we don't have to go into specifics, but you gave an example of the paper airplane thing.
Yes.
And you know, what's really interesting is that when I saw that several years ago on Vimeo or YouTube or something, I thought, oh my God, that looks beautiful. I didn't really know what they were, but I was still living in Portland, Oregon at the time. And I thought, oh, that looks amazing. Like all these people gathering in these colors. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I read your very, very creative videography there.
Yes, because when you
because everyone was there was talking about the giant clumps that didn't come apart.
you could see it on their faces. I rewatched it after I read your article, and I watched it today, and you can definitely see that they are falling on people, and that people almost have a look of kind of what's happening now.
Confused.
Yes. Confusion.
Yeah. Everyone. Yeah.
Really interesting that you pointed that out. I didn't know that about that, that it came down in clumps and it didn't. Your point being in the article, I think, is that why wouldn't you try it from like a second story? Like, why wouldn't you just test it out just once?
Yeah. Yeah. And someone responded, test it. Well, I mean, stand on top of your garage.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And the artist himself was the one that said, yeah, we didn't try it out ahead of time. We didn't do any test runs or figure out how to make sure they would come apart. Or he was blatantly not concerned about his craft. And that continues to 9 years later, 8 years later.
What I think is really interesting about the art world is that if part of that person's project or any person's project like that, if part of it was not to try it out because you wanted, it was a sort of a commentary or a gesture on just doing things once, or, you know, then that would be different.
No, that wasn't it.
But that wasn't it. But it would be interesting that it could have gone that way. Maybe that should be a future answer, but somebody's already given the answer of like, well, I didn't try. I didn't practice it. So interesting. Yeah. It was a good idea. I think it just,
it was
work.
A great idea. Yeah. I think that's why it was so disappointing, because it could have been so magical, but he didn't put in the work to make sure it would be magical.
Yeah.
And like, magic takes a lot of work.
I would assume so. I don't know anything about magic, but yes. I
mean, creating magic in artwork or music or any of that, it takes a lot of work.
Mm, yeah.
And so, you know, you don't just happen upon creating this magical thing. This is years of work to perfect your craft, and then hours upon hours of developing the concept and the execution. And so if you're blithely not worrying about that, then, you know, he didn't care.
He didn't care
if it turned out or not.
It makes for a good story, at least. That's almost like a conceptual, it's a conceptual art piece, right? I mean, that's basically, I don't know that person thought of it that way, but the idea of there's no, I don't know how people define conceptual art, but in a way, it's kind of like Adrienne Piper just putting on her shirt. What did she write on her shirt? Like, don't look at me or something written in paint or something. And she just walked around New York City, like a performance art.
Something like that.
I can't remember what it was. But
I don't think he thought that deeply about the concept of it or meaning of it. I mean,
you may be right. I don't know.
So this gentleman, I'm really sorry. I'm not going to use the word artist. This gentleman was really good at doing these like community events. So getting a lot of people to come downtown for chalk floods or pillow fights or things like that. And they were super fun. And he's really good at activating spaces. But when you enter an art competition, then there are more considerations in looking at how successful your work is. So he should have stuck to what he was really good at, or at least not admitted that he didn't care if it worked or not. Maybe that would have helped. But yeah, you know, and so all of the artists who that year had put so much work into things and really wanted to work and wanted people to pay attention, and instead they were paying attention to clumps of paper airplanes. It was just disappointing.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to me that you and I both probably find ourselves in circles where people do know a lot about art, and then we find ourselves in circles where that's not the case, and people decide from that point like how they want to shape their world or shape their opinions or whatever they're putting out. I really liked your article. I can also see how some people. Like, I'm a big fan of John Cage, too, where John Cage the composer used to have an orchestral piece, and he wanted people, the audience, to go up and walk around the stage because he wanted to destroy the barrier between who's an artist and who's not. I find that really fascinating too. Which you had both, like in particular in your article, you had both of those kinds of reactions, I think, right?
Yes. Well, and I also think there's this expectation artists, you know, have gone to school for art, and which I did, but I don't think you have to have done that to be a real artist. You know, there are all these expectations that I don't have. I don't feel like I have that high of an expectation. I mean, in my article, it was pretty simple things like don't shove your flyers in people's faces. Don't plaster giant numbers of your voting code right on your artwork. Yeah. You know,
that becomes like part of the artwork itself if you're going to do that.
So disturbing, very disrespectful to your own work. I don't understand it. You know, and it was like simple things like maybe consider how the base that your work sits on looks and if it is crafted as well, because when we look at it, we see that too. Maybe don't try a whole new kind of artwork for the first time and enter it an art prize. Like enter your idea before you've even tried it once.
Yeah.
Because you're going to want some time to perfect it and make sure it communicates well. So, you know, it wasn't like I was expecting. I didn't feel like I was expecting that much, I guess.
Do you think, because this will say there's about 1,500 artists each year, right? Give or take.
Yeah.
About 1,500. I wonder sometimes if there's a part of these entries that maybe aren't, maybe they're less well thought out. Maybe they're just not as good, whatever the case is, they don't receive a lot of votes or whatever. I wonder if some of it's that Art Prize has over the years sort of inspired them to become part of this thing when maybe they were a few years away from having something. So they were just ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
It could be. I don't know.
It's possible. I do hear more and more. Well, I know I'm not going to win. I just wanted to say I did it. That's great. I love that people want to participate. But then, you know, when we're handing out $500,000 worth of prizes, don't be so shocked when we actually would like to give that money to deserving quality work. Yeah. Like, it is a competition. So,
I wonder if there have been.
Again, I don't think that's too much to expect, but.
No, I wonder if there have been top 10 finalists or top 20 finalists over the last 9 years who, like, had never done anything before and they just wanted to try it. I wonder if that was. Is that possible? It would probably be not so much for the juried one, but I wonder if, like, in the public vote, it was just sort of a one off.
That's a very good question that I don't know the answer to, but now I kind of want to find out.
I do too, because sometimes I hate to point out particular things, but I guess if you're going to be, I mean, I make videos and I have sound works out. So when you do that, you put yourself up to criticism as well.
Yep.
So there have been artists there who have put things out where it maybe seems like that could be the case, where maybe it's a one-off or they're just, like you said, trying to do it just to do it, but they ended up getting like some attention. And in particular, I don't know if this person was an artist, but there was one a couple years ago where they took Petoskey stones and arranged it in the shape of Michigan. And, you know, I wasn't a big fan of that because I'm not a big representational person anyway, but that kind of thing, I wonder if somebody thinks, well, they could be genuinely thinking that this is my contribution to this, but I don't know if it's not my kind of thing. If other people like it, great.
Yeah.
People did like it, apparently.
They did. They liked it a lot. I feel like the way that person was interacting with people and the materials they had at their thing, I feel like that artist went to a lot of craft shows. Before doing Art Prize.
Yeah.
And you know, if you go to, I think that's part of the disconnect too, actually, now that I think about it. People are more familiar with going to craft shows and what that experience is like than they are familiar with going to, say, Art Basel. Right? So there, it's a different kind of experience. It's a different kind of work. It's culture. A different kind of culture. There are different expectations for it. And so it's a really, I mean, Art Prize loves that, that dissonance, or that, what is the word they use? I mean, that's part of the joy, is that contrast between the professional art world and the jurors, who are used to the Art Basels and the Venice Biennale, because they bring in incredible jurors, versus, you know, people that are coming in from out of town, from small towns that have a, an art, you know, a craft fair in their town. And that's, they think of, maybe they, I don't know, I'm not going to speak for them, but it is a very different experience. So if you've experienced just like, you know, craft fairs, and you go to Art Prize thinking this is just a bigger version of that, then yeah, there are different levels of expectations.
Right. It's interesting. It's still interesting to me every year that I think about the artwork I see, say, here in Detroit or in London or in Paris or wherever there might be, like, cities that have been huge and big for a long time. And they've got all these people who are, you know, artists here, and they have like this horrible history. Like they've had, you know, like underground works, and like they've gone through these terrible things, like the, like the Sex Pistols, Sid Nancy, just like living this lifestyle. And then you take a big thing like this and you put it in Grand Rapids, which maybe it has a history like that, but it's bringing together, like you said, all these people from small towns surrounding Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. And that's a different perspective on art.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that's better or worse. It just, it's different.
They just haven't had the chance to experience the art world in the same way. So they're just, I mean, in a small town, because of the cost prohibitiveness and the number of people available, to, there's just not those opportunities available. So unless you're in a family that regularly goes to bigger cities with big museums and is interested in those, you know, cultural events, you may not have the chance to, you know, experience that all that often. And so it is a whole different, it's a whole different world. And I love that Art Prize has somehow, probably because they're asking people to use their own voices and vote for what they like, it's somehow captured the attention of all these people that wouldn't normally, they wouldn't consider going to the Venice Biennale, but they'll come to Art Prize. And there's some of the same quality work at both.
Yeah. It's, if you look at all the history of certain cities like New York, say, everything spreads around the world now because of technology, but back in the day, maybe like Andy Warhol or Basquiat or something, or somebody more extreme than that, would come through and sort of shake up the culture and say, like, this is, it's to the point where other people would say, like, this isn't art, because it would be like a picture of like a dead person. Or I'm trying to think of a shocking photographer. There's an, I can't think of his name. He was, he's, there's a documentary about him on HBO. He's the photographer. Oh, it'll come to me later, of course.
Later when we don't need it.
Later when we don't need it. Yeah. His first name's Robert, I think.
Mapplethorpe?
Yes, Mapplethorpe. Thank you. And
all those art history classes helped me out once in a while.
There you go. But it's almost like that sort of collision between pushing the boundaries has to happen over and over again. And you think that it's happened once, it should be done, but no, there's, you have to keep having it.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Human development takes a long time. So years ago, when I was an artist and needed to pay my bills, I was working for an international development organization. So I got to learn all of that world. And they would always talk about how good development, if you're going to make real change in a culture, so that, you know, there's some improvement in the quality of life for people, it takes 20 years. And so what I, that's what I would tell people in year two of Art Prize, when they were all like, haven't they, don't they understand good art yet? I would say, oh, good development takes 20 years. So we're about halfway there.
Yep.
And I have seen, last year it was a marked improvement in conversations with general people in the way they were talking about art. It is happening. People are talking about art in a much more sophisticated manner. And I don't mean sophisticated like highfalutin. I mean sophisticated like more, they had more advanced conceptual understanding about the arts that they wouldn't have had, you know, 7-8 years ago before they started coming to this crazy thing every fall.
Yeah. That's the interesting question, I think, is do, is the culture as it exists what everybody wants, or is it the change that is coming what people want? So like I, you know, if I go to a small town in Michigan somewhere and I make a joke about David Lynch, I'm probably not going to get a reaction because most, they might not know who David Lynch is. It doesn't mean that I have better references or I've led a better life. They're going to make references about something that I won't get.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that that sort of tug of war that I would like to have people sit around and talk about Robert Mapplethorpe that I don't know on the streetcar, on the bus or whatever. But yeah. I wonder sometimes if that clash, if there is a clash, first of all, and how conscious we are of it and how much that will actually change. And I think it's for the better, but these are just questions that I think about.
Yeah. Well, if the comments on our Facebook, on the Culture GR Facebook page to that article are any indication, about half of us want that change. And the other half are really they're really uncomfortable with these shifting expectations about art. They're not ready for it. And, you know, a lot of people thought, you know, they talked about creating a safe zone for artists, about how media should promote artists because they put themselves out there, all of these things. And so I think part of our job, as, especially for me as media, or for people that talk about the arts with the general public in general, part of our job is to help people understand that someone else has that role. It's not me. It is not my job to make artists feel all fuzzy inside, warm and fuzzy. Mm. It's not my job to create a safe zone. Absolutely have a safe zone in your classrooms, in your workshops, in your studio, you know, but when you enter a competition, that's not the safe zone. Now's the time when we talk about which work is rising above the others. Mm. And as an arts journalist, it's my job to, you know, help us talk about art. And so, and help us hook into why art matters. And so not everybody's going to be ready for that. And then you add the layer of this, you know, this thing in, I don't know if it's just the United States or if it's more widespread than that, but that whole anti-intellectualism thing where being smart about something is considered a bad thing.
Snobby.
Yeah. If you're sharing your knowledge with other people, you're being a know-it-all. And I don't, you know, I have no intention of trying to show off what I know. In fact, I will often, when I'm editing articles for Culture GR, I will change words that are too art speak. I don't want this divide where I want anyone to be able to pick up the article, read it, and understand what the heck we're saying without having to think about what those words mean. Like, that's not, I'm supposed to be connecting the community to our creators, not creating walls between us. So at the same time, there are certain levels of expectations that we're not going to let go of just because not everyone agrees with us. So there's that level where there's this anti-intellectualism that tells us, oh, you shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't be so forthright about your knowledge because that's not cool anymore.
Yeah.
And then there's the third layer of the West Michigan Nice, where you're supposed to be a cheerleader and supportive, and no one says, you know, I even had someone that commented on our share of the article that she had thought all of the things herself, but because I had put them out there in public, that I was the one that was pretentious. And I was like, honey, you and I had the same thoughts. So we are the same person.
And she just thought maybe because you put it out there publicly that that somehow crossed over a boundary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
And I think we should talk more and more about this and be more honest about what works for us and what doesn't and what's successful. And so, you know, that's the part that West Michigan Nice is a part of my, it's something that I have to work to help loosen up, I guess, a little bit. I'm trying to help people get a little more comfortable with art criticism. And really the only way they're going to get more comfortable with art criticism is if we do it more. Mm. That's how you get used to things, is you do them over and over. So,
right. I agree. Yeah, I agree. And I think that the more interactions people have with things that are outside their comfort zone, no matter what they are, then they learn to defend their own theories better, or they develop theories or, you know, perspectives that if somebody had written, and I didn't read all of the comments under your article on, but if there were comments that were, that said like, I see what you're saying. I personally like to think that the term artist is a little bit, specific. I like it to keep it open to everybody because anybody can have an idea. And as long as they execute it to the best of their ability, I accept that. I can get behind an argument like that. But when sometimes you see comments that are just maybe that they haven't been exposed to it, or maybe they were offended as an artist, maybe, you know, that's maybe part of the growing process for all of us, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You're right about the West Michigan niceness too. I think that's a big factor.
Yes. And there's this, I told myself in the beginning, I'm not going to engage. I'm just going to let everyone talk amongst themselves. I already said everything I needed to say.
Yeah.
But one of the trends was like, that it was somehow rude to, expect artists to do good work. And I kept thinking, as I saw different comments, I kept thinking about how there's no other profession where we would defend a bad plumbing job, a bad, doctor visit, a bad teaching experience, and say, oh, well, you do you.
Yeah.
So you don't have to try to do better because, you know, it's completely objective. Who's to say what's good plumbing? You know, there's no other profession that there's no other profession that is treated this way. And it just started to feel really dismissive of artists themselves, that we wouldn't assume that they could do good work.
Hmm.
You know, it's just like, when you go into, a public school system that's not doing very well, and you can see that the teachers don't expect them to do very well. And you're like, oh, well, that's why they're not doing very well. That's a terrible analogy.
No, it's not terrible. I know what you mean.
I mean, I don't want to compare artists. I really hate it when artists go, oh, poor us, you know, we're being gentrified. And I'm thinking, oh, well, you were the ones that came here and started the gentrification process. And like, there's the whole poor artist thing. Mm. And I don't want to do the poor artist thing and compare them to kids that don't get good schooling because we're not in that sort of shape, but the whole idea that we don't expect artists to do their best work, like you said, like, right. I would totally agree with that commenter that if they would say, you know, I just think we should let them do their best work and okay, well, show me your best work, and your best work might not be 2 years in, it might be 20 years in. Hmm. Keep doing it. You're on to something, but I think you can actually improve this.
Yeah, I think expectations, that's what it is. That's why the analogy, I think, works. Because if you expect people to put out work that's, they have the expectation that nobody's going to criticize them, then of course they're going to be frustrated when somebody does. Or it pushes their, what they know. Like the idea that someone has in a particular area has about art is going to be different than another area. And so when those areas start to come into contact with each other, there's going to be friction probably throughout, not just in the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are the best conversations, though. That's how we start to grow and expand the way we think about things.
Hmm. And out of this process, whatever happens, like you said, the 20-year plan of where you think a city, maybe a city or a culture or an event or
whatever
grows and gets to a point.
I mean, I've been around the art community since the early 90s here in Grand Rapids, and the art community has been stellar and growing way before Art Prize came along, of course. I mean, we're one of our nicknames is Furniture City. We were known for our exquisite furniture design. Like, those things are not new. So it's not like, oh, now we have 20 years to get people to understand art and design. But it's, if you want to shift those, if you have that specific shift, I mean, it's going to take time.
Yeah. Yeah. So who knows where it'll be 10 years from now? I mean, you could be right. It feels like it's headed towards a good place. It's different every couple of years, I think. The quality and the, like you said, the conversations maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there will always be that sector of the population in any culture that really, you know, they're not interested.
No.
And they think it's rude for people to expect more.
Because they probably view Art Prize as some sort of like summer event that everyone can go to, whereas the people who are operating on the inside or who are associated with it, there's a percentage of them that take it very seriously, for better or worse. So to
and
them,
I
it's not just an
harshen their buzz. You know, I'm just destroying their enjoyment of wandering around. And you know, there's also this like art, like everyone's creative idea, which is very true in my mind. But that doesn't mean everyone's an award-winning artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's helping people understand that, of course, you know, I would love for more people to pick up painting, even if it's just like once a month you go outside on a Sunday afternoon and paint your backyard or whatever. You know, like, it doesn't have to be good art to be beneficial to you. But that's a whole different purpose than winning $200,000 in a competition.
Yeah.
So I have different expectations.
Yeah, and I think that's if we're gonna accept all these different ideas about what it is and everything, that has to be accepted as well. I think it's valid, because you do have an element like we said of where the niceness is a factor. You know, the idea of everybody just wants to get along. That's a cultural thing that goes outside of art, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I
don't think Art Prize is going to change that.
No, but it.
We're not going to get rid of West Michigan Nice by people looking at art and talking about it once a year.
That's true. Yeah. And
no matter how many of these articles I write.
Yeah. And I'm okay with the niceness as long as it's genuine.
Right.
You know, sometimes not just West Michigan, but maybe the Midwest. There's a sense sometimes that, yeah, it's super nice and everybody's nice and they talk to you and they're very nice, but then they almost run you over with their car when you're riding your bike. It's like, do you now? Wait a minute. There's a difference there. Like, are you genuinely nice, or are you just talking to me on the street because it's sort of a surface?
Because it
niceness.
Would be rude not to. So
right.
What am I supposed to do?
Yeah. I'd rather if you thought I was an asshole to call me an asshole.
Yeah.
You know,
I've started making a distinct, cause I'm a word person. I've started making a distinction between the word nice and the word kind.
Mm.
I think kind feels a lot more genuine to
Definitely.
Me.
Definitely.
So my article may not have been nice, as in I may not have been glossing over and just saying flowery things. But I do think it was kind, because I do think that there were some pretty simple things that could make a really big difference for artists entering this competition and how the public receives them. Whether the public agrees with me or not on how I presented it, I do think that if the artist followed some of these things that I listed, that they would get a better response from those same people that were complaining about my article. So, you know, I do think it was kind, because I'm more concerned about the long range development of our art community.
Kind is a much better word,
isn't it?
I didn't realize that until today. But it's very warm.
Yeah.
To me, it feels like kind is it goes below the surface. It's like it's like where somebody might actually invite you in for tea.
Yeah.
Nice can be like you walk past somebody on the street and you talk for 1 second about something. They're doing yard work and you talk, That,
how's the wife? How's the kids?
Yeah, then nice. That can be okay. Yeah. That's nice. That's what we do. But like, that's nice. Yeah. That's, I think, depending on how the conversation goes in each situation. But yeah, kind is definitely a better word, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It has more integrity, I think, than just following the norms of how we're supposed to act in public.
Right. One of the things I also liked in the article was that you said something about, it was that you didn't want it to be promoting a certain cause, which I am.
Well,
a
no,
huge...
so let's, I, it,
I, maybe that's not what you said. What did, you said something about not voting for a cause. I love that personally, because I don't, yes. I don't, this is probably just a Troy thing. I don't know if it's anybody else. I'm not saying it's you. I like the idea of art being itself, not representing a movement, not representing a political idea, not representing a disease. It's art. It has its own meaning. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah. It has to. So basically what I was saying is, you know, especially this year, I mean, it has been every year, but all the talk is that especially this year, there's more political art, there's more activist art, there's more. And whenever we get so caught up in the cause that we lose sight that we are still making art, and we do still need to hold ourselves up to those standards that we would if we were just making a beautiful painting, then the art suffers.
Yes, I agree.
And then the cause suffers because you're doing a bad job talking about it. So, I mean, I've seen some doozies already where I'm like, this is not helping your cause, but there is this way where people think that if they do art about a cause, they'll get all these votes because of course someone's going to vote to end cancer. We're not voting to end cancer. I'm voting on your artwork about cancer.
Yeah.
So the artwork has to stand on its own.
Yes. It's like you said, chokes it. It chokes the meaning of when you project an image of a politician or anything onto it that's not, it's a sculpture of something, it could be something, and then you went and projected a human issue onto it, so all of a sudden it's not just an artwork anymore. It's propaganda, or it's a vehicle for something else, which means that the something else is the higher
That's the higher part. Value.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You have these conflicting values and the cause is winning out over the art and the art is suffering for it. That's when I'm not going to vote for it.
Hmm.
I might be interested in learning more about your organization to find out what you do, but that doesn't mean I'm voting for your artwork.
Right. I think that's totally fair because it becomes about something other than art. Like I personally want the art to be the highest value.
Well, I just wanted to stick to the same standards and not, like, suddenly we expect less of the work itself just because it's talking about something that we all care about.
Mm, that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. Were you here last year? I feel like you were here last year.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you see those toilets?
I did not, actually. I missed
I feel like
one.
Maybe that should be your cover photo for this episode. So there were, I don't know, 30 toilets all grouped together, you know, and all painted super bright colors. And it was a statement piece about colon cancer to raise awareness about colon cancer.
That's great at a colon cancer awareness benefit.
This is what I'm saying. My son, who was 5 at the time, we're half a block away. And the things are so blasted bright that you like cannot help but look at them half a block away. And he's like, what is going on over there? I said, honey, I think that's part of Art Prize. And
yeah.
He was, well, that's not good. So he wanted me to take his pic. So we got up there and he was just shaking his head and just did 5-year-old shaking his head, not understanding why someone would do this. And he wanted me to take his picture in front of these things. And so he held up his arms like, you know, the little shrug, like,
yeah.
I don't get it. And so it's just, you know, when your 5-year-old is like, I really think this could have been done better.
Do you think, now that you're saying this, I can't believe that I missed this. I don't know where it was. But if you have 30 toilets that are different colors, they're bright colored, whatever, if you just have that and you call it something, you know, toilets, whatever,
yeah.
That could be, now that might be something where I would turn my Duchampian head on and go, oh, what's this? But if you didn't mention that what it was about and somebody had to pull that away from you and you're like, well, there's a reason for everything that I create. This might be one of them, but this, that makes it a completely different piece. It could be the announcement of it being, you know, being about a cause that maybe soiled it. No pun intended.
I feel like if they had just like dipped them all in gold or something, it could have been really interesting. Like it could have been really interesting, but it was, I mean, the color choices were horrible.
Okay.
It was like, you know, back to the 90s with the neon. And then there was like words scrawled on them really poorly. Like spend a dollar more and get a better paintbrush so that you can not have this look so bad. You know, like they just didn't, they didn't take the care in the way they did it.
Yeah. Okay.
So, it, I mean, there are so many ways you can talk about anything. All I'm asking is that you, you work on doing a better job.
And if you're, and if you're an artist where you get that sort of feedback, some people will say it's criticism, but it could be considered feedback as well. I think if you're, no matter who you are and what field you are, if you take that and sort of absorb it and think about it, and then maybe you reemerge and say like, you know what? I was, I think I was right about this part of it, but you, I listened to this part of it and I think there's some truth in it. So now I'm going to do a project similar to this, but I'm going to take some of the things that I've learned as a human being.
Take it to the next level.
Take it to the next level.
That's all I'm asking for.
Right.
Take it to the next level. I think you can do better.
Yeah. For anyone that
I believe you can actually do better.
Yeah.
I wouldn't ask you to, if I thought this was the best you could do.
Right. That's interesting. And how many people are saying things like this, do you think, in GR over the last 9 years? Has it been a lot, or maybe longer than
saying what I'm saying?
Yes.
Behind
closed doors, yes, but how many people have been saying it publicly? I'm just a general, is it a lot or?
Saying it publicly is such a weird thing now because I mean, if you say something on your Facebook wall, is that saying it publicly? Then tons and tons of people. And even I had a lot of people that would share the article and say, oh, this is exactly what I would have said, you know?
Hmm.
Or this is. Coming back to anyone who lives in the area and therefore probably goes to Art Prize at least once every year has complained about the people shoving the flyers in their faces. It's off-putting. And instead of being intrigued by your art, I'm now annoyed, you know,
you've given me something to carry on a hot day.
Yeah. And stuck it in my face, you know, like the people trying to sell hoagies and I don't know. It's just, it's off-putting. So, but I don't think the people coming from out of town realize that we've been doing this every year and we're tired of that. So that was one of those things where I was like, oh, seriously, I know you really are excited to make sure everyone pays attention, but there are better ways to do it.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's across the board, right? Everybody will figure out a better way to do things or unless you want to shut it off. If you react to things in sort of a don't, you shouldn't be saying this, don't tell me how to do this. Well, that's not really an approach you should have anywhere, really, I don't think. I mean, if you don't, even if somebody disagreed with your article, which is totally fine, they may have valid reasons, I don't know. But you think you got to be able to listen, absorb it, think about it, then reject it, but reject it in like a thoughtful way.
Right.
And I'm not saying nobody did that, but I'm just meaning in general.
What is it? Who is she that she can talk about art? Well, I'm like, I'm saying you can write a response to me that actually tells me what you think we should expect of art. That would be great. I would love to converse about our different opinions about what we want art to do for us. But to just say, well, who is she to say this? It's like, is nobody supposed to have an opinion about art? Would it? I'm an arts journalist. This is kind of what I do. I talk about art. Sorry.
It goes back to the plumbing thing where some guy's telling you about plumbing, like, oh, you just know everything, don't you? You just know all about pipes and wrenches. Yeah, that's probably the best analogy is like you wouldn't, that you do, they do, people, not everyone, but there's a certain percentage of people that expect art people to do it for free. And they expect artists to sort of be this, this sort of free-flowing thing where there are no there. I like it when there aren't rules, but there it's almost like you have to kind of know the rules a little bit and then break them in a way, you know?
You know, that's what my drawing professor told me in my first drawing class when I had to draw an egg for 3 hours straight. You have to learn the rules before you can break them. And I really disliked that professor for that project. Mm. But now,
yeah,
I'm thankful because it's true. You can't break the rules well until you understand the rules.
Yeah.
So.
And I think there's probably maybe in some future period, I'll get to this deeper understanding that maybe learning the structure and then breaking it is a terrible idea because then you don't have these organic results as an artist, but that's even further down that road of thinking about art in a deeper way. But what you're saying, I like, because it's the idea is that if you don't know anything about art, you should really maybe invest some time in it and then think about Art Prize or about arts journalists or the articles that they're reading or something like that.
Or, you know, I don't really think, I would love to hear people's opinions even before they've invested time in it. I have always told people I love hearing people who aren't from the art world talk about art the best because they have the most honest responses and can actually show me what's working for the viewer just honestly instead of, but it's that shutting off of like, who are you to say anything?
Yes, stop. That's true. Yes.
Instead of disagreeing on a point. There was no like disagreeing on a point. It was all disagreeing about whether or not I should be saying what I expect of art.
Yeah.
And so it would have been awesome if instead they had said, well, here's what I expect of art other than, you know, art is whatever makes you happy. That was one of them. And I was just like, okay, but no, there's more to it.
Yeah.
You know,
I like my art to make me suicidal. That's what, you know.
I mean, also, yeah, that, like, some art is really disturbing, and that's where its power is the fact that it makes us uncomfortable and makes us face some things we don't want to think about.
Yeah.
And that's not making me happy, but is it powerful and meaningful? Absolutely.
And sometimes it's, I've been in plenty of circles where people who, they have the credentials for talking about art, but those circles can be very boring as well. And they can be way off the point, just like anybody else. It's just in a different way, you know? Mm-hmm. So it can be exhausting from any perspective. It's just, it's interesting, this idea of this cultural shift and what Art Prize means to all that stuff and all the things that we look forward to. Is there anything you're looking forward to? Have you peeked at things?
So I went into the Amway Grand Plaza, which always has a, you know, mixed bag of work. Mm. And I'm excited for a lot of things, but I was at, so I went there Sunday after looking at all these comments in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I was there with a couple kids. And there's this sculpture made out of cardboard, but it's exquisite. And I know that sounds not possible, but evidently it's possible. And I was feeling really proud of myself. Like, see, I'm not pretentious. I love this work made out of cardboard. Very proud of myself. Mm. And then I turned around and there was a Lincoln made out of pennies. And I thought, oh, nope, you go.
I think that was the same Petoskey stone.
You might be a little picky because I'm not happy about that one.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to all of those discoveries where you're like swung back and forth between that's incredible. What were they thinking? That's amazing. I don't feel comfortable about this work at all. Like you are just like there's art everywhere. And so you are just flung through all of these experiences. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And then I'm looking forward to talking to other people about those experiences.
Yeah. That's the interesting thing is that like art itself vomits on the city and you get all these interesting things and bad things and good things all in one city.
I would rather consider maybe compare it to a flood.
A flood.
Instead of vomit. Yeah. If we're going to talk about liquid substances.
Yeah, flood is better because nobody's ever looked at vomit and said, ooh, that's interesting. Wow. Let me look at that.
I do that in my house.
The blues are brewing. want somebody, but you ain't got nobody. You only got a gleam in your eye. Till somebody's found you and puts their loving arms around you, you got the feeling you want to die. But when the Lord up above you sends someone to love you, the blues are something.